Hey guys, it's great that you are with us today. Welcome to Crossroads. You know, we're right in the middle of our Real Encounter series. Every weekend, we are hearing stories from the Bible of people who have encountered God in these really tangible ways. And then we're hearing stories of people in our own communities who have encountered God in their own life. And it's incredibly powerful. We're going to continue that today. And there are people all over the country who are attending together in these communities spread really everywhere. You can go to crossroads.net/groups, put in your zip code, and find a community near you that you can attend Crossroads with. We're gonna start our service now, and it's gonna kick off with worship. And so this is our chance to use songs and lyrics to say to God what we think about him. And as we do that, I would just say, turn it up really loud, get everybody in the room. We're gonna get started.
Well, hey there, welcome to Crossroads. My name's Tanner. You guys may not recognize me. This is actually my first time hanging out with you here at Oakley. So if this is your first time hanging out here at Oakley, then maybe we can just be new together. Anyways, if you guys don't mind standing up, we usually start things off around here by singing some songs, and we call it worship. It's basically us just putting our prayers to a fun tune. So if you guys would join in with us, that'd be super great.
Stands. grace. I need more of your presence. I'm weak, Savior, be my strength. Down in
thinking about this song and just that chorus that says down in the valley, and a memory came of this past October when I was hanging out in Red River Gorge with some friends of mine. We were taking just a backpacking trip, and the first night we camped in this valley next to this river, and I remember right as we were coming up on the campsite, the sun dipped down over the edge of the hill and it got so cold, freezing cold. I thought I was gonna lose both my feet that night. Like, it was that cold. As I was thinking about that, this other memory of a time in my life came to me where I wasn't physically cold, but there were these 2 years when I was in college, and I was just in this fog, you know what I mean? Like, I was cold inside, I was empty inside, and I was just reaching for the closest thing that would make me feel something, that would fill that void I had in my chest. Maybe you felt that before. And for me, it was just like begging for affirmation, like from anyone. Like, I wanted people to think I was good and that I was doing the things that, you know, I thought that were expectations of me. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'm probably not alone in that feeling. There's probably been a time in your life where you have felt empty, where you have felt cold inside. The truth is that none of those things made me feel any better. Maybe they made me feel better for a minute, but only a minute, you know? The only thing that's brought me lasting comfort in this life is the truth and the hope that I find in Jesus. That's just the truth. And I don't know where you're at this morning. You know, if you believe in Jesus, then that's awesome. But maybe you don't. Maybe you're just exploring this whole church thing. And that's totally cool, too. When we sing this song, when we sing Down in the Valley, instead of just singing along because it feels like the right thing to do, I challenge you right now to explore those words. Think of the times in your life when you've been empty, and consider, you know, if Jesus can bring true healing, if Jesus can bring me truth, isn't that worth exploring? We'd love it if you guys joined in with us and kind of explored that with us.
Your touch bringing me closer, your hand healing what's broken, my prayer, Father, me. All of your glory, your grace, let it surround me, let faith change the atmosphere. I'll never be empty grave.
Heavenly Father, God, my prayer this morning, and I've prayed this a few times this weekend already, but I mean it just as much now as I have every time before. God, my prayer is that in those moments when I feel dead inside, in those moments when I feel empty, when I feel lifeless, when I'm alone, that instead of reaching out for that thing that's just going to leave me discontent, instead of reaching for that, God, remind me that the only true comfort, it only comes from you. And God, when it's easy to reach for that other thing, persuade me to do what's more difficult. My prayer is the same for those here. If they believe in Jesus, my prayer is the same. If they don't quite yet, God, remind them of this moment and maybe encourage them in that moment, prompt them in that moment to search themselves and ask themselves, you know, maybe there isn't true contentment in these things that I'm reaching for. Maybe I need something more. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope that he gives us. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Amen. I always have to like breathe a sigh of relief after singing a couple songs like that, you know. Anyways, we're super glad that you guys are here with us this morning. We're about to continue our series where we're hanging out with Brian over in Israel. But before that, we would love it if you said hey to some people around you. Maybe ask them like, hey, what's your favorite thing about fall right now? And then you guys can have a seat.
Hey everybody, it's good to be together today. My name is Matt. I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere. You know, this weekend experience, it's such an important part of what we do at Crossroads. It's our rhythm every week where we get to get on the same page, we get to be inspired, grow closer to God, and get pointed in the same direction. But it's not the only part of Crossroads. It's not the only aspect of church. And if you've been coming around Crossroads for a few weeks now and are wondering, how do I go further? How do I get deeper? How do I go to the sort of take a next step? Well, the answer to that is a program called Next Steps. This is a brand new thing that we've just created. And if you are in and around the Cincinnati area, we have a number of sites that are offering this new program. It's a 4-week class. And through the course of the class, you learn about Crossroads, who we are, our DNA, what drives us. You start to learn about yourself. So we discover our own gifts, the way that we're wiring, what our passions for, and over the course of the program, we start to see those things blend, and by the end of Next Steps, you know where you can serve, a team that you can join, a group that you could be a part of, a group that you could start. There's all kinds of options for you, and it is the best way that you can take a next step at Crossroads. So if you've been using Crossroads Anywhere to check out Crossroads and live in and around the Cincinnati area, I want you to go to crossroads.net/next-steps, get all the information, and step into one of those sites and participate in this program. If you're not close to Cincinnati, no problem at all. We're actually right now developing a version of the Next Steps program that will be available to everyone, no matter where we live. But in the meantime, email us. Email us at anywhere@crossroads.net. Every week, we're connecting people to other people that they can know, to groups they can be a part of, to serving roles. We can do that for you, and it would really be an honor to do that with you. So shoot us an email at anywhere@crossroads.net so we can get you connected. And let me tell you, these next couple of months are gonna be really, really exciting around Crossroads. So we're entering into the holiday season. I don't know if, like me, you are sort of shocked as you go into Home Depot or Walmart or wherever you're going and you're starting to see all the Christmas inflatables and the lights and you're going, what in the world? But it's that time of year and we have some exciting experiences lined up. So I just want you to have this in your mind, that there's gonna be a Thanksgiving Eve experience this year that could be a phenomenal tradition for your family, for the families around you, that happens right before Thanksgiving. We're gonna have a great holiday series. It's all gonna be about how to find peace amidst the chaos. We're gonna have a Christmas Eve service. There's tons of things that you're gonna want to plan to include all the people who are special to you in this holiday season. And right now we're gonna continue in our service as we're sort of diving back into real encounters. And as we do, we're gonna have a time to be generous. We talk about this every week because it's a rhythm a team of us has at Crossroads where we fund these experiences, all of our opportunities to serve, the whole holiday season, all that stuff. If you wanna be a part of that team, you can go to crossroads.net/give and set up a reoccurring e-gift or do a one-time gift. If you're brand new, we're honestly just really glad you're checking this out, and we hope that this is a really exciting time for you, so there's no obligation to give. We're gonna jump into that right now.
Well, hey, good to see you today. Okay. So, today is going to be a good day. Welcome to Real Encounters with God. And we're going to try to encounter God today through healing. That's right, I said healing. Can you say baby? That's what an old televangelist used to say whenever he tried to heal somebody. Say baby, baby. I'm not going to have you saying baby today. And I also want to admit that I've got my own personal religious baggage over purported healings and some of the stuff that happens in the televangelist world and all this. And having said that, I have seen with my own eyes real, literal, physical healings through prayer. I haven't seen it happen to me, but I've prayed for other folks and have seen it happen. I know other people who it's happened. I've interacted with medical professionals. It's a real, real thing. And it's also somewhat rare. It's why it's called a miracle. Maybe today there's some people in here who might actually get a physical healing. The thing about a physical healing is it's temporary because we're all going to die, right? I mean, the death rate is hovering right around 100%. So eventually, whatever we just got healed physically, it or something else is going to break down on us again. But there's other kind of healings that we see in the Bible that can last a lot, lot longer, in some cases, eternally. Relational healings. Maybe we'll have some relational healings today. Bitterness could be squashing our vitality. Some of us, it's an emotional healing that we may have. There's been things that have been done to you that have wounded you and scarred you. And God wants to meet you in that place and bring healing. Things that happened in your childhood, something someone said to you just last week, something your parents put on you and you've been trying to outrun for your whole life. There's emotional healings and there's spiritual healings. We're going to dig into this today with a great story out of the life of Jesus. It happens in the city of Jerusalem. Before we go to Jerusalem, let me tell you, whenever I go to Jerusalem, it is a crazy, crazy place. It is the ancient, I don't know, maybe the most ancient city in the world right now. And it's one of those odd places that when you go into the old city of Jerusalem, you know you're stepping into history because so much has happened of importance in the past. You're stepping into the present because right now, in the present, in terms of religious harmony and the world religions, everything is still taking place right there in Jerusalem, and it's a place where there's prophecies about the future. So I'm also stepping into an eye into the window of the future. So let's go to the old city of Jerusalem right now. Well, today we got a great day because I know today is going to hit all of us where we are. I know we've got wounds, we got bruises, brokenness, some physical, some emotional, some spiritual. Today we're going to talk about healing. And where are we going to talk about healing? Where are we right now?
Yes, well, we are here in the most important city around the world, which is Jerusalem. And in front of us we see what we call the old part of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem. A wall that's surrounding parts of Jerusalem today and were built almost 500 years ago in the 16th century. Behind us, we have the Mount of Olives. We are climbing up and actually reaching Jerusalem from the east, like many of the pilgrims used to do. They would come, climb through the Judean desert, they would cross it, reach the Mount of Olives, and then enter Jerusalem, crossing the Kidron Valley and entering from here or other gates to the south.
So how old is this wall then?
Again, this is from the 16th century. We can see two pairs of lions there from both sides. It's called the Lion's Gate. And this is what we see again, parts of the wall.
So this is not where, these walls weren't here when Jesus was here.
The same walls were not here, but these walls are built on top of the walls that used to stand here, yes.
Yeah, the city has been razed so many times, wrecked. They take all the ruins, they tamp them down, build on top of them. There's a lot of stuff down below, which we're gonna see today. But you mentioned something earlier I want you to revisit. You said this is the most important city in the world. Why?
Well, it is important for us Jews, for Christians, for Muslims. Everyone somehow want to have part of it and control it. And through the centuries, this is what happened. There were many, many wars, conflicts. We still have, of course, as everyone knows, over that city.
John 5:2-9. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked.
So as we get into the story, we're going to start at the Temple Mount. This is a very contentious place in the Middle East right now. It used to be the place where the ancient Jewish temple was, where all the sacrifices took place. Since then, it's the place where the Dome of the Rock is, and there's the Temple Mount. It's all in this section. It's under Muslim control. You'll have official Israeli police who are stationed outside of it, who are Jews stationed outside of it, just trying to keep the peace, make sure everything is okay. And then you also have Muslims who are just making sure everything's okay. And you're going to notice in this, we've got some Muslims who are a little skittish about a Gentile being around. And basically, I didn't even realize at the time, the Muslim mafia starts coming around me and just making sure everything is okay. If there is such a thing as a Muslim mafia, no offense to those of you who might be in the Muslim mafia. Jesus loves people who are Muslim mafia. He does. I'm just trying to explain what was taking place there. When Jesus was in Jerusalem, he was most frequently at the temple, over and over and over and over again in the temple. And this one story, he walks outside the temple, does a really quick teaching, a quick healing, and then he goes back. We think today when you take a journey, I get in my car and I drive 10 minutes to Kroger, or I drive 15 minutes to church, or I drive half hour to the sports game or something like that. We think in those kind of increments. This story, as you're gonna see, is really, really quick, and we just thought we'd time exactly how long it would have taken. So let's get there right now. I am right now in front of the most famous places in the holy city, the Temple Mount right here. This temple, by the way, before I tell you, I get to be a cameraman today. Yeah, I got my own camera hand. And right here at the Temple Mount was where the temple was, where Jesus did so much. In fact, his entire ministry inside Jerusalem, except for two cases, was at the temple, was right over there. So I'm gonna do a little experiment right now. We're gonna do a little stopwatch, because I wanna do an experiment. All right. So there were always people hanging around in that place. And Jesus loved crowds. Sometimes people go, "I don't like Crossroads, the crowds, too many crowds here." Jesus loved crowds. He loved being out by himself, and he also loved the crowds. He was in the temple, which is where people were all the time. He did his teaching there. He did his interacting with people there. And he stayed there. Now, when he leaves, one of those times, he leaves the place where we're going right now. It's called the Pools of Bethesda. Bethesda means house of grace. And it's a place where people would go to get healing. This place is still today here, but not as it was back when Jesus was here. Remember, we talked about how things were tamped down in the earth over all the destruction over the centuries. They tamp it down and rebuild it up. So the original and actual Pools of Bethesda
are a bit lower. I'm going to show them to you today. You're going to be in an exact place where Jesus was, where a healing took place. It's been one of my more mesmerizing healings that I think I've ever encountered. And that place is right here around this corner. It's right now a Catholic church. People come here to connect with God and to worship, and you can see the place where a person was healed. Jesus goes up to a guy and says, "Do you want to be healed?" And he heals him, and he turns around and heads back to the temple. It's that simple. There's no long sermon. There's no object lesson. There's no, "Hey, come look at this video teaching I have for you." There's no skit. There's no, he just walks here, finds somebody, "Do you want to be healed?" Turns around and heads back. Now, this starts to come into the view as I go down to where this fence is. Pretty interesting. People from all over the world still come here today. Oh, let's see. I have a new person to see here. Watch this. This will be really fun. Yes, the calendar doesn't. Excuse me. Do you want to be healed?
There you go.
She's not sure. Okay, so he does that. That's all he does. And he walks back. He heads on back to the temple. That amount of time, which, by the way, where am I here? Let me pull my little watch out as we walk along. That amount of time, 2:57. Boom. That's it. He takes that amount of time and then turns around and walks all the way back. You know, why is it that guy gets healed? It's not for the reason how he thought he got healed. They believed that an angel would come and visit the waters. And the first person who got into the waters after the angel stirred it, that person would get healed. This guy is paralyzed. He can't get in the water. How's he supposed to make it in the water? He can't roll over. But I guess he's just hoping that there's something that unique happens that day. And that's exactly when Jesus comes up to him and heals him and touches him. And then Jesus gets up and he bolts back. I know of actual, literal, physical healing miracles that have taken place through prayers that I've given or things that I've seen at Crossroads. There was a guy who came up to me after one of the services and he said, I have a hard time seeing. I'm not seeing very well. And I prayed for him. And he went out in the atrium and then he came buzzing back in because he said, "The first time I can actually read the screens in the atrium." I had one person, I prayed for them to be fertile. And she and her husband conceived that night when doctors said it was going to be impossible. In fact, at Crossroads, there are dozens and dozens of people who have been healed of infertility. Kind of crazy. And nonetheless, it's not a perfect science. That's why it's called a miracle. It doesn't always happen, but it does happen. Do you want that? Do you want it? Well, let's go back and revisit what that guy would have had to ask himself when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" So we just ran through that pretty quickly. Let me do it again. I'm here outside the pools of Bethesda. It was a pagan healing center. What that means is they believe you get healing outside of the God of the Old Testament scriptures. Various deities would heal you as soon as the water stirred. The first person in gets healed, or so they believed. So at all of our Crossroads site, there's going to be a light that comes on. When that light comes on the stage, and if you're Crossroads anywhere, just follow the instructions at the bottom of your screen, the first person to get to that light gets an iPad. Let's go, you weenie boys. What are you waiting for? My gosh. Come on, this is for real. Let's go. Mildred, come on. I don't care if you busted your hip. Roll on up there. Go. Hey, Hank, you're always sitting in the back. Don't want to get involved. Well, now you're losing money. You better push through. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Chop, 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 chop. Go, 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 go.
Hey, Crossroads Anywhere. We're not kidding. We were giving away an iPad today. Hey, I'm David. I'm the producer for Crossroads Anywhere. Here's Derek. He's our technical director. We're up here in the production room right now, and we're monitoring your texts. So we want us to text us your name and location, 513-402-0289. Text us right now, and if we get your text, you're getting an iPad. This iPad right here. So I'm excited to announce we have a winner. Our first text is coming from Erica in Forest Park. So, Erica, you are our winner. So we'll give that away this week. And while we do that, let's jump back into service.
That iPad experiment wasn't just a sort of cool breather, something different and tactile to do inside of this service. It was also meant to parallel a spiritual truth. You were faced with, wait a minute, is this real? You were faced with, can I actually have that? You were given a test of actually how hungry or eager you might be about it. The people around that pool believed that they could actually be helped. In reality, they weren't going to be helped. There was no spiritual potency there whatsoever. It was a lost cause, hoping that they would get healed from there. But at least they were there and they were trying something, but the futility of it was, in the end, it wasn't going to help them. Those are all marks and characteristics that go into seeing if whether or not you will experience healing. You have to believe that it's real. And you have to want it. And you gotta actually do something. You just can't sit back passively and just meander through some malaise and hope that somehow your life is gonna be better. There's gotta be things that you do, places that you go, prayers that you want to have received, prayers that you say. There has to be a sense of activity and going after healing instead of only passively waiting for it. And even if it just comes to you passively, there's still the need to say, yes, yes, I want it. So whatever your reaction was in the moment with that iPad, I want you to think about whether or not that parallels your personal reaction to the idea of you being healed.
I think it's fascinating, Jesus' question. Do you want to be healed? We did this take twice, the whole walking thing. You know, you saw it. One time, a woman says, I don't know. The other time, person says, no. It's not a no-brainer that people want healed. You might say, well, it's a no-brainer if you want healed of cancer. Yes, but there's other ways that we need healing. Some of the most miserable, messed up people I know have bitterness. Nothing's wrong with them physically. They're messed up with bitterness. One such person is a family member of mine. I was at an extended family wedding one time, and at the reception, I was sitting beside her, and she was going on about how this wasn't right in her life and that wasn't right, and oh, woe is me, and on and on. And about 10 minutes into this thing, I realized, I think I heard this the last time I was with her. And I just read and meditated on this passage. And I looked at her and I said, do you want to be healed? And she didn't know what to say to that. Later on, she circled back to me and she said, you know, when you said that to me, I was offended. I said, okay, but do you want to move beyond the bitterness and your difficulties? No, you don't need to understand. She said, you offended me. I said, okay, well, I'm sorry that I, no, you offended me. She kept like, okay, I understand. I offended you. If I was more secure in my faith at that point than I am right now, I would have said, well, guess what? You call yourself a follower of Jesus. You call yourself someone who wants God. He's offended that you don't want healed. He's offended that you think that the where you are right now is the way you will always be. He's offended by that. He's very offended. I'll tell you, there's things in your life, if you're not careful, you'll just come to the conclusion, that's just the way I am. Well, I'm just a critical person. That's just the way I am. Well, I just have kidney pain and I don't really need to have anybody pray about my kidney pain. I just have stones. That's just the way I am. Hey, you should never be content with your bitterness. You should never be content with your kidney stones. You never, ever. Jesus is still coming And he's asking people, do you want to be healed? And the only shot of you getting healed is saying, yes. Doesn't mean you will be healed immediately, but the only shot you have of being healed is if you say, yes. One of my frustrating things of wanting healing is around my back. I feel like I'm getting healed. I'm not sure how much is God, how much is my friend Paul, who's a chiropractor, who's kept my back from going out for a while. I haven't had major, major back pain for a while, but every once in a while, it's like, bam, it just goes out, and I am like flat down, and I am just wiped out. A few years ago, I was playing basketball, and a quick note to the story you're about to hear. I was naked the entire time. There's a visual for you. Actually, before I went to play basketball, I went and I got my stuff off and I was bending down the locker and I bent down in the locker and all of a sudden my back went, I fell down like this on the floor and I couldn't move. And this friend of mine just like walked by, he looked at me and then he kept walking and I couldn't move, my back was out. About 5 minutes later, he came back, he said, hey, are you okay? I said, no, my back went out, I can't move. He said, oh, I thought you were praying. He said, no, I choose not to pray naked on a public restroom floor. No, that's not necessarily my gig. I pray regularly for healing. I haven't gone out for probably 2 years, but I start to feel it and I think, God, I'm feeling something back there. Why haven't you just expanded my discs? Why haven't you just pumped more fluid into my discs? Why haven't you done? And I can get bitter about that. I can think, well, that's just the way I am, or I can continue to ask God to heal me, whether it's through medicine or whether, and I'm anticipating that through prayer and anything else, that sucker will go away. I don't know one thing though, I got no shot of God healing me if I'm not depending on him and I'm not saying, yes, I want it, yes. I don't know what this guy was waiting for. I mean, he's paralyzed. How long is he paralyzed for? 38 years. For 38 years, he's been lying here, hoping and waiting that he's the first guy in. 38 years. Jesus says, do you want to be well? And in essence says, yes. Jesus heals him. Anyway, he goes, fascinating here. Jesus doesn't say, do you agree with all the proper theological concepts? He doesn't say, have you had perfect church attendance? He doesn't say, he just wants to see if there's a willing heart. Do you have that? Do you have a desire for God to touch you in the deepest places? The places where you've been wounded. Let me get a little personal here. Places in the memories when you were raped. The places when your dad beat you up with his fist in a bottle. The places where you've been financially devastated and you know it's because of a specific person and you just can't get it. Do you want healed of that? Do you want healed of the cartilage in your left knee? Do you want healed of the socket that goes out of joint in your right elbow every once in a while? These are just ones that just came to me right now. I don't know if God just put those ones in my mind or not. Maybe he did, and there's four people. He's asking you that. Maybe these are just examples of the many, many, many stuff that's happening in us right now. And God's asking you, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Do you want it? Because Jesus wants it for you.
I said earlier that I've seen healings happen. We're going to check in with a couple who's been at Crossroads for about a year. They were pregnant, and then tragedy struck.
Crystal and Jamie, we are sitting in this office because this is where you had a real encounter with God. So tell me about that. What happened?
We had some difficulties with our pregnancy at the very beginning.
The day we were in the hospital for the first ultrasound, the technician who was doing the ultrasound detected what she detected, but she didn't verbalize that to us.
Mine for a second did I think something was wrong. I mean, we were just so excited. We heard the heartbeat. I mean, we were just so incredibly excited. And we went in, and the doctor walked in, and I mean, you could see it on her face as soon as she walked in, and she just said, "I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It's not okay."
Is there a specific diagnosis? Did it have a name?
It was extra fluid behind the neck, and it was a trisomy, which can be one of, I guess, four different things, either a heart condition or three different type of chromosomal abnormalities, the best of which is Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. I was just devastated because she said, you know, given your profession, you both work, this is, you know, if your best case scenario is Down syndrome, you know, all the others are gonna be very physically and emotionally traumatic. She said, I would recommend a therapeutic termination.
So she said that that day, she said, like, so what was it in that moment that made you say, we're not gonna settle for this. We don't wanna stop at this. Because a lot of people do. I mean, this is not something that is uncommon. And so what was it in you that said, no, we wanna continue on with this pregnancy?
Well, honestly, we didn't at that moment. That night, I looked into abortions and kind of what that would look like. And, you know, I just, you know, we already heard her heartbeat and we just couldn't, I couldn't do it. And I talked to him and, you know, I was like, we can't do this. I mean, there was no option that she would be okay, but we felt like we would just have to deal with whatever it was that God gave us. And it wasn't until the next day that I was like, okay, we can't just accept it. We have to get prayer. And then we emailed Brian, who directed us to this office for the prayer team to pray for us. At that point, had never prayed in his life, never, you know, believed in God or would have ever taken anything to God. That was kind of a, you know, one-sided part of our relationship.
And so you come, you're in the office, you sit on the couch. You said you encountered God in this moment.
Yeah.
What did that mean? What did that feel like?
So in that moment, it was more the emotion of, we need this healing so bad because the alternative is horrible. Yeah. The physical part didn't happen until I was walking out of the building. I felt physically lighter, and I don't know how to explain it, but I told him as we were walking out, I was like, man, I feel really light.
It was that boldness of God, come here now, help us with these two people in this situation now. And there was a boldness there that was awesome. And it's something that was really powerful.
I just remember tears falling from his face and as he prayed with his hands on me. I was in shock. And because, I mean, I could tell, it was real for him. In my head, I was like, man, if this doesn't work, I mean, this was probably his only chance at actually seeing God. And
wow, so I'm just thinking about the gravity of that moment for you spiritually, is you feel like not only do I need God to show up in a real way because of the baby in my belly, but I also need him to show up in a real way because this is probably the only shot I have of my husband encountering God or wanting to pursue God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Jesus is in and then back to the temple in a relatively short period of time. And what happens in between is there's a guy who has his life changed. He gets healed. He's in a place where other people are not getting healed at all, or if they are, very, very, very rarely for very, very odd reasons. This is a business. Jesus has inserted himself into a business that isn't very spiritually ethical, and he delivers a superior product at a superior price because he does it for nothing. And when this happens for this guy, life just changes for him. He ends up wanting more of the God who's brought him healing. And so the next time that Jesus meets up with him, he's at a place to seek and grow further, and that's where we're gonna see him as he arrives the temple later. On his way to the temple, something else happens. It's pretty weird. Religious people start getting angry at this guy. They're angry at this guy because he's carrying the mat which he was lying on beside the pools of Bethesda, and you can't be walking and carrying something on the Sabbath, on this religious day. It's just these people are like, hey, you can't carry something on the Sabbath. They're not saying, hey,
weren't you not walking yesterday? No, they're not saying that. They're picking on him because he's carrying a little 9-ounce thing on the Sabbath. This is part of how many people who are steeped in religion, who go to church, who read the Bible, who pray, who do a lot of good stuff, and who know God, I'm saying they, we don't know God, but so often miss the plot. We're focused on the rules instead of seeing the bigger picture. A guy was paralyzed, and another guy, Jesus, asked him one question and then left, and boom, he's better. That's the big picture. And there's things like that for your life that God needs to change. When he finally gets to the temple, something interesting happened. He sees Jesus, and Jesus says, "See, you're well." And then he says, "Go and sin no more." You think about that. Go and sin no more. Like, how do you sin if you're paralyzed? It's not like the guy's going to the strip clubs. It's not like he's going down and beating up on indigent people. Because our attitudes can separate us from God. Our attitudes of fear, our attitudes of judgmentalism, our attitudes of materialism, our attitudes could do that. And this guy wasn't clean before God. He had stuff he had to work out with God. And Jesus says, "Go and sin no more." And then here's the big bombshell. Yeah, before I tell you this, Jesus said this. Not some fire and brimstone preacher that you don't like, who wears polyester and his wife has purple hair. No, Jesus said this. He said, "So that something worse doesn't happen to you. Go and sin no more so that something worse doesn't happen to you." God's probably thinking, like, well, what can worse possibly happen? Like, I couldn't walk. It's a lot worse that could happen. You could go to hell, for starters. You can be physically healed and have a miracle and not know God, not know Jesus, and have an eternity away from him. That would be worse. Maybe he would be worse. He would be paralyzed and blind, paralyzed and deaf. I'm just trying to get us to understand here that there's a level of intensity to Jesus. There's a deeper narrative that he's playing on that we've got to be cognizant of. And I'd also say we've got to consider, you might have something worse happening to you right now because God's trying to get your attention. I know some of us, you've just given up on healing. You've prayed, you've had other people pray for you, you've maybe had people put their hands and pray on you, you've had people fasting for you, you've cleaned up your life, you've thought, is there something that God's judging me for and something isn't right, and so maybe you've quit this and you've quit that and you're only doing G-rated movies and you're buttoning up your collar all the way to your neck every time, I don't know what you're doing, but you're changing all these things out of a pure heart to honor God, to get his attention, and still, the affliction persists. At some point, you just got to be okay understanding that there are hard times. Some of us have harder lives than other people, and God might not necessarily be trying to get your attention at all. This isn't an affliction from God. It's just these are things in the spiritual realm that we're really not aware of.
So all the sites that you can go to in the Holy Land in Israel are either A sites, B sites, or C sites. A C site is, we all know that there's no way it took place here, but we celebrate or recognize it here at this place. A B site is, well, maybe. An A site, where we've been going and we'll continue to go in this series, is no question, as the GPS is, this is exactly the way, the place that it is. Now, last week, we had David and Goliath in the Elah Valley. I mentioned this really, really, really rare to go to one of these A sites and to see no money-making opportunities, people selling trinkets, and even no churches, no nothing, because normally these places are memorialized. That's really, really rare. Here at this site, this A site, it's memorialized with the church. In fact, most of the Christian sites are memorialized with the church. And you think about this. Of course it would be. I mean, I think to myself, oh, I just want to go where the pristine geography would have been and just have it that way. Yeah, that would be great. But we know that as Americans, we don't do this. When something happens, it's significant, we memorialize it. We have white crosses up and down all of our highway system with roses because someone died there that we know, and we memorialize it. We have other works of art or other things. We kind of build structures of monuments just to make sure that we know this took place here, and I want to make sure that it's special. Well, the early church was like this, or as the church began to grow, they were like this. They knew where these sites were, and then they would go and they would memorialize it with the church where you could worship at that exact place. And so there's churches all over the place with very few people who go to them, by the way, but nonetheless, churches that are there that facilitate the spiritual pilgrimage of people from all over the world that go to these places. This place is a church that's called St. Anne. It's known as one of the most pure acoustical environments for singing in the world. They've recently had a massive, massive renovation, and people from all over the world come to this church, not just to experience what happened there at the Pools of Bethesda, but also to offer up a prayer of worship to God. And you'll see people in different languages that just go to the front of this church. It's always in silence and prayer, unless someone is singing, and offer up their song of praise and worship and gratitude. And we had with us on this trip one of our worship leaders, Robbie Ryder, and he decided to give God an offering of thanksgiving through his voice.
One, two, three, four, five. Thirsty, and all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. The waves of his mercy as deep cries out too deep. We sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus. Won't you come? All who are thirsty and all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy as deep cries out too deep. We sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, Jesus, come, as deep cries out too deep, as deep cries out too deep, we sing, Holy Spirit, come. Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Won't you come? Won't you come?
Well, Robbie, in the middle of that song, it sounded like you had kind of an experience happen. What happened there?
In that moment, it was sort of this convergence of two thoughts. One is that I've had a constant prayer of wanting to get healed of type 1 diabetes. All throughout the day, I'm just conscious of the fact that I have this thing, you know? And of all the things to have, I mean, it's pretty minor in the grand scheme of things, but I'm just conscious of it, you know? So on and off I've prayed, you know, God, would you maybe find it in your way to bring healing to my life? But after praying that enough times, you get to a place where, I got to a place where I'm just like, you know what? It's easier just not to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier for me to connect with God as a king, because a king is gonna ask for loyalty. Mm-hmm. And I can be loyal, but a father asks for intimacy. And so in that moment, like, of having this moment of, I'm singing the song about, you know, all who are thirsty come to the fountain. We're at the pools of Bethesda, you know. And allowing myself to ask again, mm-hmm. which is a really vulnerable place. Like, it takes vulnerability. So there was an aspect of, in the moment, like a softening of my heart again.
Yeah.
To say, like, gosh, I do want to be healed. And yet, God, I'll love you anyway.
Yeah. Did you sense that God was saying something to you in that moment?
Not in like words, like behold,
right.
but in a sense, especially in this place of, I want to be your father too. So in that, like in him saying, you know, we sing you're a good, good father all the time. And I believe that. Well, I know that. And I think it was just a new layer of belief.
So you said something really profound there, that you know it, but believing it is something different.
Yeah. My actions are rooted in what I believe, not in what I know.
Yeah.
And so I can, you know, I tell my kids, like, I know that you love me when you obey me, or when you come to me with a problem. It means you believe in my character as being a good dad. Just recently, I'm experiencing a different kind of restoration in my body that I couldn't have foreseen when that happened.
Yeah.
So because of some changes we've made, I'm using almost half the insulin I used to use.
Wow.
And I'm feeling better, and there's evidence in my body and in my blood that says that I'm healthier than I was when that video took place and I asked for healing.
Man, that's amazing.
So it is.
That's amazing.
He is good, and I love him as a king and as a father.
Oftentimes we want healing and it just doesn't come, or at least it doesn't come as quickly as we wish it would. Earlier we heard a bit of Jamie and Crystal's story of their tragic diagnosis. And let's go back and check in with them and see how the healer, the real God, actually encounters them.
So you're at the doctor and you have this second ultrasound, and the results are what?
So totally normal. All of the fluid is gone. There's absolutely nothing wrong with her, no concerns. The doctor is shocked.
And this is 2 weeks. 2 weeks have gone by.
Yeah.
And it's completely clear, like no evidence of any problem at all.
Correct.
That's amazing.
On the paperwork, it says fetal anomaly not detected.
Man,
yeah.
Man.
With the same doctor, with the same equipment, and she came into the room and said, I don't know what happened, but ultrasound looks perfectly good to me. Everything looks totally normal. We should proceed with the regular pregnancy advice.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, that's a miracle.
It is.
That's a miracle. And so tell us, how are you feeling when you leave that office?
I mean, we're ecstatic. Just tears of joy. For my part of things, I was still nervous, going forward for the rest of the 9 months. This guy over here was, you know, all the faith in the world, and I was like, it's probably healed.
She was born. How old is she now?
She's almost 6 months.
Wow.
She was born perfectly healthy, and it wasn't until then that I was like, okay, you know, he really did it. He really saved her.
You saw a miracle.
Yeah.
You had a miracle baby in your arms.
Yeah.
We chose to name our daughter Grace because the grace of God fixed our daughter.
What do you think it says about God that God performed a miracle, a physical miracle in your life and for your child? What do you think that says about God?
It says that he'll show up anywhere. If you ask, you don't have to be the best Christians, you know, to be healed. It's not like he's counting up how many goods you've done to decide if you're worthy of a miracle, because, you know, we named her Grace because it's only grace that she's here. It's not because we deserved that or earned that or anything like that.
When Jesus came here initially, he was going in enemy territory. This was a place that was outside of where good kosher Jews went. This was a place that was operating in the dark place. That's what Jesus does. He goes after people. He goes to the dark place. I don't know how dark your place is. I don't know how frustrated you are. I don't know how hurting you are. I don't know if you think that you've been disqualified from God touching you because of something that happened in the past. You just gotta know, wherever you are, what's going on, Jesus went there. He was comfortable in the dark places. He was comfortable in the broken places. He will meet you and he will come to you where you are right now. Let's go to exactly where this happened, the same level at the pool of Bethesda. So let's go back to the iPad, because I think there's something there I want to dig at a little bit. There's been a few reactions with that. Some of you have not stopped thinking about the iPad since it happened. And there's different reasons for it. Some of you are thinking, I can't believe Crossroads would buy all those iPads. How many sites do they have? How many people are online? And how many, that would be however many iPads times. How much does an iPad cost right now? And they're just giving away money like that? Why don't they give it to people who don't have shoes? Or worse yet, why don't they give that money away to people who don't have feet? They're the people who actually need help. And you're just like running the numbers in your mind, like over and over and over again. And others of us are sitting there going, oh man, it just wasn't fair. I didn't know that.
Those guys down in the front row, they had an advantage that I didn't have. I mean, I was way in the back, or I was up high. And you're just like fixing out, you're thinking, I'm the one person who needed an iPad, and I couldn't get an iPad. And I'll tell you, if that's your interaction on both fronts, there's stuff I want to pick at for you. For the first person, I just have you consider that you might need to be healed of cynicism. You're just, Crossroads is your latest thing to get cynical about. A big church that got my... I bet that's a thread that runs throughout your whole life. And I'll bet it's a thread that everyone around you knows. You need to heal that cynicism. It's bringing you down. It's bringing your enzymes down. It's bringing people around you down. And then for others who thought, man, this wasn't fair. I wish I was here. I wish I was there. You probably need healed of religion. And that's what religion does. Religion tells us, if I do this and I do that, then this happens, and it should be fair for everybody. Everybody should be, if you went to church and you was a good boy doing this, you did, then these bad things shouldn't happen to you, or if they do, then it should be good. If you're really upset about that, you might need healed of religion. Again, this is a miracle. We never stop going to Jesus. We never stop hoping and having an attitude of expectancy. He's going to come and heal us, but we never assume that if I do this, then he has to do that. No, it's called a miracle for a reason. And one of the greatest miracles is when you have a real encounter with Jesus himself, a real encounter. Then it becomes not so much about the back or the cynicism or the emotional trauma. Then it becomes about Jesus. It becomes about him changing the trajectory of your life. I'm in right here. This is the area. This is the place where this went down, where a guy for 38 years was waiting for healing. And he said, yes, I want to be healed. So I'm going to ask you again. Do you want healed? If you want healing, we're prepared today to have people pray for you. If you're at Crossroads anywhere, just look at the instructions right on the bottom of the screen. And this is a moment for you to actually have somebody represent God and be God to you, putting their hands on you and praying for you. And so you'll be able to come forward like right now. We have people right now who are taking their spaces at the front of all of our facilities, and you can start coming down right now. And let me pray for you and end our time right now. God, I know that you're not done yet. Some of us may be heading for the parking lots or about ready to head for the parking lots, but others of us are heading forward because we want to be healed. We want something to be different in our life. And I pray that different things, healings, take place now, God. That diagnosis, make it irrelevant, take it away. That internal issue, that internal bleeding issue, stop it up. That ghost, the ghost of the past that keep haunting us in our minds, God, crucify them. That wounded place that just keeps oozing and oozes on people around us. God, we need healed of that. Heal us. Eliminate that bitterness. Allow us to show you that we want something more, and that's why we're coming down now. God, thank you for being the God of healing, and we're praying that you do it again right now. Amen.
Hey guys, we would love to pray with you. We have an entire prayer team who every week prays with hundreds of people. And you can email us at prayer@crossroads.net. We're gonna email you back. We would love the opportunity to pray for you to experience healing. No matter how big or small this thing is in your life, we wanna see God heal you. And we'd be really excited to do that with you. Hey, I wonder who in your life you could share this service with, this message with. This is a really powerful thing. And so if anyone's coming to your mind, would you just send them this weekend's message? And if you've missed any of the weeks and want to catch up, you can watch all of the weekend messages that are a part of Real Encounters at crossroads.net/live. We've got one more service in this series starting next week. We'll see you then.